Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Let's get to the Word of God, Romans chapter 4. So excited about this session tonight. Romans chapter 4, we're in our righteous series, Righteousness of God. I hope that God is opening your eyes to His righteousness, that it's not just a church word. And a lot of times, and we'll get into that tonight, a lot of times we declare things that we really don't even know what they mean. And this is a declaration that I am the righteousness of God, that I'm not right-ish, I'm righteous. Romans chapter 4, verse 22, we'll probably get to the main text next week, but we'll use this as a jumping off place. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous, not because of what Abraham did, not because of what had been done that he did, but because of his faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too. Somebody say amen. Assuring us that God will count us as righteous if we believe in him. Somebody say in him. The one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. Turn to your left-handed or your left-sided neighbor and tell them, I am the righteousness of God. Turn to your right neighbor now and tell them, I am righteous, not right-ish. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The last session is just to catch everybody up real quick. Three things we've talked about concerning the righteousness, and you can listen to these for free anywhere where you listen to your podcasts. We are righteous by faith, praise God. Don't let the devil lie to you and tell you what you've done disqualifies you from righteousness. It is not your work, it's the work of Christ that was done on Calvary. Remember, anytime that he condemns you, it's because of something you've done. He cannot or should not be able to condemn us out of the place of the righteousness of God, because it's not me, it's not you, it's Jesus. Number two, righteousness is a judicial declaration. It is a declaration of justice. It is equitable, meaning that there is only one God who could balance the scales in our favor, and that was our God, Jehovah God, sending Jesus Christ to not only take our place, but to do a job that we could not get done on our own. Number three, righteousness, this is where we left off last session, is counted, King James Version says, imputed to believers. Imputed in the Greek means to reckon or reconcile, just as you would reconcile a checkbook. In the New Testament, impute means to charge or account something to a person that the person did not previously have. Can I tell you that before you said yes to Jesus, righteousness was not an option? We could not get to righteousness outside of a relationship with Jesus. Jesus stands between us and righteousness. So when you said yes to Jesus, the warehouse of God opened up, and righteousness now became a legitimate option for believers. In the Bible, God imputed the righteousness of Jesus to people, and he imputed our sin, or the sin of the people, onto Jesus. When we talk about righteousness, we are talking about being reconciled with God. When we say, I am the righteousness of God, we are also declaring, I have been reconciled to God. You realize that sin in our life, righteousness took care of our sin problem. But when we say sin, we are not just talking about drugs, sex, and alcohol. We are talking about anything that literally brings separation between us and God. When we say that I am the righteousness of God, what we're saying is not only have I received Jesus, but I have received the revelation that no matter what is in my past and what I've done and how I feel and all of those things were done away with, and I now have received the righteousness of God, which means I was a far, far away from God, but now I am reconciled. I am in his presence. He is in my presence. I live with him. He lives with me. I walk with him. He walks with me. Righteousness is reconciliation. Once you have been reconciled, you are now called to reconcile. That is why divisive measures from the enemy are at work all the time. It is why division is such a weapon that the enemy uses. The most segregated hour in America is still Sunday mornings when everybody goes to church. They go to white church, black church, brown church, red church. They go to Democrat church, Republican church. They go to Baptist church, Pentecostal church, Catholic church. And so the enemy knows that a lot of us are going to heaven, but he wants to keep us divided. And so now that we've been reconciled with God, we have to understand that we are now called to minister and to use that gift of reconciliation that we now have a revelation about through righteousness to reconcile people back to God. It should bother you that coworkers of yours are going to split hell wide open. It should bother you that you're going to sit down at Thanksgiving time with people that don't know Jesus like you know Jesus. It should bother you that people are sick and dying in the cancer ward that have never been introduced to a Savior named Jesus, but a healer named Jesus. It should bother us that more people don't know Jesus than do know Jesus. It should bother all of us that we're so vocal about Jesus on a Wednesday and a Sunday, but we whisper about him Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We have been reconciled, and so we must spend our life reconciling people back to Jesus through his righteousness. We are ambassadors of righteousness. Let's move to some new material. I am the righteousness of God. I've heard this phrase all of my life, church. I've heard it from pulpits, from platforms, from pastors, from preachers, and now I hear it on podcasts. As believers, as followers and disciples of Jesus, we are the righteousness of God. You know how I know we are? Because the Word says we are. The last 2 weeks we have talked 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. For he hath made Jesus to be sin for us. Jesus knew no sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. If you've got an actual Bible and the pages between your fingers, I want you to highlight or circle the last two words, in him. It is important that we realize that we operate as believers in Christ. After studying righteousness, like I have the last few months in preparation for this series, I've come to these revelations. Righteousness is not an ongoing process. And realize and measure what I'm about to say, because there's two perspectives of righteousness. There's God's perspective of righteousness, And that is an infinite perspective. And then there's our finite view of his righteousness. So righteousness is not an ongoing process. Meaning this, righteousness was paid for and completed on the cross by Christ. He is not finishing the work of righteousness. He is not trying to get it all wrapped up so that he can give it to us. My brother, we'll experience this in about 6 weeks. My brother is the king of Christmas dinner has been eaten, the kitchen has been cleaned, and the entire family is in the living room waiting to unwrap all of the gifts. And undoubtedly, after 15 or 20 minutes pass, Bishop will say, "Where's Sean?" And you know where Sean is? Wrapping presents. Pastor Becky, with all that she's got going on, has wrapped all 634 gifts that she's given everybody. And not just wrapped them, I'm talking about like JCPenney and Dillard's, the old school wrapping, like they can learn something from Pastor Becky. And so the devil wants you to think that the work has not been paid for. He wants you to think that God is still working on some things. There is some things that God is working on in us, but everything that God has worked on for us has already been completed. I've come to encourage somebody tonight. If you are waiting on God, you're waiting on the wrong person. If you're waiting on God to do it, it has already been done. You're waiting for something that has already happened. The ball is in our court. It is already done. So righteousness is not an ongoing process. Us receiving righteousness, us literally receiving the gift of his righteousness is not a process. The day you and I made Jesus our Savior and the Lord of our life, re-received all of his righteousness, I've got good news for you. We are not on a payment plan with God. He doesn't say, well, if you show up to every Sunday and every Wednesday for 6 months, I'm going to go ahead and give you 25% of that righteousness. You get it all when you said yes to Jesus. You get all of him. There is no junior Jesus. There is no, you've got to walk with me for 2 years until you qualify for healing. Come on now. You got to serve me and tithe 10% for 5 years before you qualify for deliverance. No, when you and I said yes to Jesus and confessed him as our Savior, our Lord, and we repented of everything, God said, everything I am, you now have. What a powerful revelation. That we don't have to struggle like we struggled before. And I am quick to tell new believers, it is not going to be rainbows and butterflies and unicorns, and your life is not going to be perfect. You're still going to have problems, but guess what? You now have the problem solver doing life with you. You now have a direct line and access with Jesus. Somebody say amen. So righteousness, the perspective, Jesus, God, looking at right, it has already been done. Here is where the process is. After we receive righteousness and the revelation, are we going to stay righteous? Because righteous is not just a declaration. You can say, I am the righteousness of God. Here in 2024, we would say it like this. You might identify as righteous. Oh, is that too much for you on a Wednesday night? You might identify, but you are either righteous or you are not. That is where the title comes from, that some of us aren't righteous, we're right-ish. And we think if we're close enough to righteous that you're going to skate on through. But I'm here to tell you, baby, it is not up to me. It is not up to a board or a denomination who is righteous and who is not. It is up to God's word. That's why we have to get God's word, hide it in our heart so that we will not sin or be separated or live in unrighteous lifestyle. So I know that we have access to the righteousness of God. I know we like to declare, I am the righteousness of God. But understand this, that right, staying righteous and in right standing with God, it is a fight and it is a process that you and I are going to have to take very seriously every minute of every day of our life. Because guess who takes no days off? The devil don't take any days off. He will trip you up, he will drag you down, and he will do his best to drag you to hell. There's a lot of people that think they're going to make heaven, but they're mistaken because they're right-ish, not righteous. Right-ish, not righteous. Righteousness can be defined as many things, and we've defined some of those over the last 2 or 3 weeks. It can be defined as integrity, virtue, purity of life, correctness, rightness, right thinking, being who we are, actions, what we do. The righteous is the one whose thinking, being, and action is wholly conformed to the will of God. Now we go to Sunday's sermon series on His will and not my wants. Here's one of the reasons why we have to know the will of God for our life. And there is a will of God for every believer. That encompasses every. But then God breaks it down and he will begin to show you his will for your personal walk and your individual life. But here's what you need to know. The righteous one is the one who's thinking, his being, and his acting is wholly conformed and transformed. Meaning this, conformed. We usually don't like that word in the positive. Conformed means this. I am literally making my life and manipulating my life to match his will. I'm not trying to distort his word or his will to match my life. You know why there is half as many people on a Wednesday as there is on a Sunday? Because they conform Jesus to their calendar instead of their calendar to God. You're talking to a businessman. Now, Wednesday night, I can do business on Wednesdays, but let me tell you about Sundays in the ag world. Saturdays and Sundays are the Super Bowl days. But everybody, we've been in business in Texas since 1982, meaning Bishop founded our agriculture company in 1982. I was born in 1981. He had to wait till I was born. He said, now let's do it, praise God. But everybody in Texas knows You can't get the Fenders to show up on Sunday. And that used to be true. You can get me to show up, but it's going to be like 2:30 in the afternoon or before 6 a.m. But 6 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., they know. It doesn't matter how much money. Why? Because I'm not making God fit me. As the righteousness of God, I make my life fit His will and His word. Who I am, what I think, what I do. Somebody say amen. Remember, righteousness in our first session comes from the Greek word dikaios, meaning the equity of character and action. Going back to 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The word in denotes a fixed position. This is so, so important in 2024. This is not a political statement. This is a biblical statement. God never changes. So your politics can't change. We got quiet. God never changed. So you can't evolve what you believe just because you like this candidate a little more or you don't like this. I knew it'd get quiet. Anytime we talk politics, it gets real quiet. But remember, this is a biblical statement. Not why? Because we're not trying to make our Bible match our politics. We are making sure that our politics matches the word of God. Vote the Bible. Somebody say amen. I need you to say amen right there. So the word in Christ denotes a fixed position. If we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, which we are, church, then our thinking, our being, and our acting should reflect that truth. Which means this: if I am in Christ, how I think should be affected. Let me try it over here. If I'm in Christ, how I think should be affected. If I am in Christ, my being, who I am, should be affected. Remember, I am a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If I am in Christ, my actions, what I do, should be affected. How many of you can just give a 10-second praise? You don't got to stand up, but a 10-second praise that you no longer do what you used to do. You no longer are who you used to be, and you no longer think like you used to think. Praise God. True righteousness is reflected in what we think. Here's a phrase that I love. One of my friends said this many years ago, and I think about this quite often. It is reflected, true righteousness of God is reflected in what we think. That's our thought life. Can I ask you about your thought life? You say, well, Pastor Brandon, I've gotten really good at not saying what I think. That's a start. That's good. That's how you stay married, praise God. One of the reasons, one of the ways. Is everything you think, you don't say. Gentlemen, does this dress make me look fat? The answer is you look gorgeous no matter what you are wearing. Don't go down that trail. I'm helping somebody. So our thought life. Here's why I know thought life is important. As a man thinks, so is he. Meaning our life follows our thoughts. I also know this, that our thought life produces our word life. What we say, we will see, which means what we think affects what we say. Here's how I know that thought life was important to Jesus. Jesus says, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you didn't say it. You didn't do it. No one knows what you thought, but because you thought it, the Bible says, Jesus said, you've already committed the act. Thought life is it. That's why when I say I am the righteousness of God, I think like Jesus. I prayed for a young person this week who was struggling with ADHD and attention deficit disorder, defiant disorder, and all of those things. You know the two things I prayed? I asked him, I said, do you believe in Jesus? Yes, I do. Is he your Savior? Yes, he is. I said, well, three things, but these are the two things I told him. The third thing would have been that you're a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. But the two things I told him was this. Number one, Paul said we now have the mind of Christ. Thought life. Paul goes on to say in Ephesians that we now have the helmet of salvation, meaning that there is a saving grace that protects our thought life. So if you say that I am the righteousness of God, your thoughts need to be different. Not only our thought life, but who we are, that's our identity. What we do, that's our actions. I believe the key to this scripture in 2 Corinthians 5 lies in the last two words, in him. I've already had you circle, underline, or highlight them. Think about this. Think about it this way. When a woman becomes pregnant, so there's a lot of gentlemen got really uncomfortable right there. I'm not prophesying, I'm just reading from my notes. Calm down. When a woman becomes pregnant, that baby, regardless of what anyone else says, from the moment of conception, that is a baby, that is a person made fearfully and wonderfully in the image of God. Isn't it amazing that it used to be called murder, then it was called abortion, and now it's called women's productive rights. My body, my choice. You are correct, but you are talking about somebody else's body that at this point doesn't have a choice. That was not in my notes. I've been watching too many commercials, y'all. Let me get it back. When a woman becomes pregnant, that baby from that moment of conception begins to grow on the inside of her. Check this out, though. Remember, this is in the context of in Christ, in him. We are the righteousness in him. Guess what that baby gets to eat? Everything that mom eats. Guess where that baby gets to go? Everywhere that mom goes. Guess where what that baby gets to listen to? That baby might not like Bob Marley, but if mom likes Bob Marley, that's what the baby gets to listen to. Why? Because that baby is in her, and that baby does not have a decision to make because he is in his mother's body. If I am in Christ, if you are in Christ, you don't get to choose what you digest and eat. You and I don't get to choose where we go and what we listen to and what we watch. Why? Because my Father is carrying us. We are in him. And as the righteousness in him, where he goes, I go. What he eats, I eat. What he says, I say. I want to help somebody tonight. When you say, I am the righteousness of God, you are laying self down and you are picking up Jesus. This is who I am. So it is the same with us when we are in Christ. Romans 13 verse 11, this is probably where we'll end tonight. Romans chapter 13 verse 11, this is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. This is Paul talking to the church at Rome. Wake up. Turn to your neighbor and just tell them, wake up. Somebody watching online tonight, wake up. Wake up. Wake up to righteousness. We'll get there in just a second. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. If so-called believers really believed that Jesus could come back at any moment, they would not be living like they're living. They would not be doing what they're doing. They would not be. If Jesus was scheduled to come back tomorrow at 9 a.m., we would have had to have 10 services today, and they would be in the parking lot as far as we can see. However, the right-ish think they have a lot of time, but the righteous are here on a Wednesday night saying, God, you deserve all of my love. All that I am. You should clap. You're a part of the ones that I'm talking about. You are ahead of the curve tonight. You aren't doing your own thing. Nothing else was more important than what we're doing tonight. Why? Because we believe we are the righteousness of God. Our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. Man, what a phrase. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be.